Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fortress Comic News, episode 315. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host, your Mike.
What's happening, hey, Mike? What's happening? Unfortunately, no interview today, but we will fill it with some fantastic and amazing information that everybody wants to hear from us instead. So,
yeah, and the real thing that Mike misses about doing interviews, I'm just going to do right now, everybody. So here you go.
There we go.
All right, Mike's satisfied.
Everything's
now.
Fine. Now I'm happy. See, wow, completely turned that shit around. Let's have a great show, folks. That's the spirit. I will correct myself from last episode. My sister did text me this, and she was right. The Evil Dead movie does have a Bruce Campbell cameo. And it's not Bruce Campbell in the flesh. It's Bruce Campbell's voice on the recording that they play. So if you're listening to the priest talking in the recording, he says like, "Hey, no, wait, don't read that book," or something like that. And it's his voice. I do remember the dialogue, and I should have realized that doesn't really sound like an old ancient timey priest's voice. But yeah, he does have a cameo, so that's cool.
Did you see his little thing about how he was like, "I'll play Kingdom Come Superman"?
No, I didn't see that. Oh my god, that's great.
Yeah, he let me see if I can pull it up. But he said something along the lines of like, I would play Kingdom Come Superman if they asked me.
Dude, oh my god. What if like Kingdom Come ended up being this cheesy B movie that they made?
Oh, let's see.
Hey guys, I'm Bruce Campbell, Superman.
In a tweet on Thursday, Campbell retweeted a fan asking DC Studios to contact Campbell for Kingdom Come.
Oh my god.
And his response was DMing my number right now.
Wow. Dude,
so, yeah.
That is typecasting aside of all the like cheesy and like stuff he's done, I mean, he would look great as a Kingdom Come Superman. He's got the hair and the jaw.
he's also got the build. Like, he's not super in shape. Like, they'd have to muscle suit him a little bit, but like,
right.
But he's got huge. A body of like a farm boy.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah. Holy shit. That would be like my two favorite things combining together. It's like my peanut butter and chocolate. I don't know which one would be the chocolate, which one would be the peanut butter, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, that was a funny story I read earlier in the week. I thought
that's awesome. That is so awesome. Yeah, that's like the best casting, and I haven't heard anything better than that, I don't think. A lot of stuff going on about the Flash movie, a lot of good things that we're hearing, right? This quote keeps popping up everywhere. It's the best superhero movie ever. It's like, all right, everybody slow down. Get it? Because it's the Flash. Slow down. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, it can't be the best. It's the Flash.
Yeah. Oof. Shots fired.
All the Flash fans hate Chris.
Yeah. Most saying it's excellent. I will say the second trailer dropped. It's so hard for me not to watch. I keep saying like, I'm not going to watch trailers anymore because all the good parts were in the trailer. And then like they're like Flash trailer number two, another 5-minute trailer of different footage. Fuck it. I'm going to watch
it. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And here I am. Dude, I loved it. Oh my god. There's a shot, and everybody, like, if you've never read a comic before, this is a comic book panel in its entirety. Like a full, like you're reading a Batman comic and like you full page spread, like, You see Michael Keaton's Batman ejecting out of the fucking Batwing, and he's like, the Batwing is like spiraling about to crash, and he just like moves out of the way. It passes him in the air and it like explodes. I was like, holy shit. It was awesome. I don't remember the rest of the trailer, but that was the best part. Anyways.
Yeah, it was a good trailer. I like the moment where they're sitting in the jet and the bottom comes down and they're gonna parachute down.
Yeah.
And Ezra's just like, so where's your parachute? And he smiles and then just drops.
And then just drops. Yeah.
I'm like, that's awesome.
That's the Batman Island. This is like all-star Batman.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah, I'm the Batman.
Yeah.
I don't need to say shit to you, nerd.
I joke around because, I mean, people have been listening a while know I'm not a big Flash guy, but I joke around. But I really hope this movie's great. Like, I hope everything they're saying is true. I hate hearing these things ahead of time because, it feels like no matter what, it's never going to be the greatest superhero movie in my eyes now.
It'll never live up to the hype, right?
Yeah. But I want it to be great, and it looks so much, so much fun. I think this movie is going to be, at bare minimum, just a fun ride.
Uh-huh.
With all the different Batman running around and...
Oh, the Batman. I don't know about you, but after these couple trailers, Chris, I think there's going to be a Batman in this movie. What do you think?
I still say there's one they're not showing us.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
And I think it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That would be sick.
I am convinced that it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan at this point. Like, I mean, they're doing Flash... They're not going to call it Flashpoint, but they're doing Flashpoint.
Right.
So... To do Flashpoint Batman. I mean, Jeffrey Dean's so perfect for it.
It's either that or, you know, we know that he's the Batman, but we don't know if he's Bruce Wayne or Thomas Wayne. Right? They haven't confirmed
Bruce... Affleck?
No, not Affleck. 89 Batman. They haven't, we know it's 89 Batman, but in this universe, he could be Thomas Wayne.
Oh, I don't think they're going to do that.
You don't think so?
No, because they wanted him around because remember, the original plan was for him to do the Batgirl movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Unless it's changed since Gunn took over.
Yeah.
If they're going to do Thomas Wayne, the only move, in my eyes, the only move is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Because you set that up.
Oh, listen. Yeah.
When they did Batman v Superman, they casted Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne. The only reason for that, because he's a terrible Thomas Wayne, the only reason for that is because he would be a phenomenal Flashpoint Batman.
Yeah, he really would.
So at some point, that was in the cards. To just throw it in, even if it's just a scene or two.
We're just running through the multiverse and we see the red symbol and be like, holy fuck.
Or he just runs into him and that's how he gets his powers back.
In the air.
Yeah. Oh, it would be so good. But
yeah. I mean, we're hyping this up. It's hard for me not to get excited for the movie.
I'm rooting for it.
We've talked about it.
My local comic shop. So one of the reasons I rag on Flash so much to everybody out there. Is my local comic shop. The owner's a huge Flash fan. So it's always the fun biggest. To me. Everyone knows guys, the way we show our love language is by making fun of each other. So of course, every time we see each other, we got to make fun of, he makes fun of Captain America. I make fun of Flash. That's how it goes. but his plan is to, for all of his reservists, he's going to rent out the local theater and just all of us are going to go see Flash together.
That's awesome.
So I might have to wait a week to see it, but that's how I'm going to see it is with, everyone I know at the comic shop and the owner and everything in a theater he bought. So
that's so cool.
Nothing else, it'll be a cool experience just for that. We'll never do that again.
Yeah. That's awesome. God, I hope it's good.
I hope so too. I root for all these movies to be good.
Yeah. I want everybody to be happy.
Yeah.
And enjoy the stuff. You sent me the thing earlier about these pop figures coming out in a video game. What's up with that?
Oh, Funko, was it Funko Fusion?
Funko Fusion. So if anybody's played those the Lego Batman 3 game did not have any business being as good as it was. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Lego games. For sure.
Those Lego games in general didn't have any right to be as good as they were.
All of them. Yeah.
They're so much fun. I mean, they did get a little oversaturated. Yeah. I tried playing the new Star Wars one, and I got through two episodes, and was like, I think I'm over this. But
yeah, a little too much.
It's also they've done Star Wars how many times?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But they announced this Funko Fusion game, and it looks like it's made by this new company. But it's all ex-devs from TT Games who made the Lego games, which is why we're talking about those. And it looks like a fun, quote-unquote, all-ages-style collect-a-thon game. but it's not really all ages because I'm looking at the properties they're doing. Like, there's some adult things. Chucky's in this. Like,
yeah, The Thing.
Umbrella Academy. Yeah, The Thing. Like,
The Thing, like the monster that turns into a spider.
I think this is going to be a goofy spoof game with Funko figures that, like, is kiddie but aimed at adults. I mean, it looks cool.
Like, the Jurassic Park stuff looked cool. I mean, it's like a mashup of pop. Like, pop figures is like pop culture. So, like, literally anything can be affected. And they had Star Wars and Jurassic Park. I mean, I'll probably, just for that alone, if that's in the same game. I mean, come on.
This is just an initial trailer, so we didn't see a whole lot of gameplay.
Yeah.
To be fair. But I'll be keeping an eye on it at the very least, like,
yeah,
to check it out.
For sure.
I'm at the point, I don't know how you are, but I don't really buy a whole lot of games at full price. So I'm usually out of, like, the initial conversation.
Yeah. No, I'm waiting till they're on sale on Steam for sure.
Yeah. And the only ones I do buy at full price anymore are, like, the ones I know will hold value. So, like, when God of War Ragnarok came out, I bought that day one.
Yeah.
But I was also able to sell it, like, 3 weeks later for $50. Like,
right. So. Yeah. Exactly.
But I'll keep an eye on that one.
Like, I just started playing through the Ori games. The Blind Forest is the first one. Because they just went on. Yeah, it's really good. Just went on sale for $5 on Steam. So, like, that's where I'm at right now. I'm playing, like, single player indie games that I've gotten really good reviews that I can pause whenever I want and sit down for a little bit. Although, I know we're talking about video games right now. Cassette Beast came out on Steam. I don't know if you've seen that game.
No, I haven't.
If you're a Pokemon fan, Cassette Beast. It's like, I haven't played it yet, but you have cassette tapes, like mixtapes, and you have monsters with them, just like Pokeballs, and the idea looks fucking insane, and I loved it.
I have seen that, actually, now you describe it, yeah.
Yeah, it just came out on Steam, like, this week. It's already on sale. It's, like, 10% off, so I was like, shit, I gotta buy this.
I think it's on Switch here soon.
It probably is. They've been doing a good thing with Switch, of, like, releasing indie games on the Switch and Steam at the same time, or trying to, at least
out now on PC Game Pass, out May 25th on Switch and Xbox.
Cool.
There you go. Get on PlayStation.
Yeah. Get no PlayStation release. Screw you. Yeah.
Yeah. I picked up Blasphemous.
Oh, that game's really good.
So I don't know if you watch the Indie World Nintendo showcase they do, but I usually watch them when they come out.
Uh-huh.
And they announced Blasphemous 2.
Yep.
And I'd never heard of Blasphemous before.
Oh, okay. It's really good.
And then they announced Teslagrad 2. And I'd never heard of that before. Well, both of the original ones are out on Switch. And Teslagrad wasn't on sale, but Blasphemous was on sale for like $6. And I was like,
yeah,
2 looks dope. Let me check it out. So I bought that.
It's a good game. It's like a 2D side-scrolling Dark Souls.
Yeah, and I like side-scroller games.
Yeah,
but me too. Advance Wars came out, so that's all that matters.
Oh yeah, the new one, the 1 and 2.
Yeah, the rebooted.
And then they had the Mega Man Legacy come out that I want to play all 6 of those games, but maybe.
Yeah, so I have that I'm sitting on. I'm playing Advance Wars and Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Yeah, just came out.
Yeah, the new Star Wars.
So I can wait on that because I got so much shit to play, but dude, it's just nonstop. And then, oh, you'll be happy. A friend of mine let me borrow Elden Ring. So
nice.
I have it in the house. It's like, it's next to the PlayStation.
You're like, it's almost time for me to try, but
it's getting closer.
Yeah. Slow and steady. Yeah. I love Elden Ring. One of my favorite games. Everybody knows I'm a huge Dark Souls and Bloodborne fan. And if you want Bloodborne comics, they're out there. We talked to Colin Bunn last week about it. So, we did. So that was pretty cool too that we chatted about that. Yeah, I think you'll like it. You just can't, in Elden Ring, if you start off and you go one direction, you can't defeat the monster. Just try a different direction and find a monster you can defeat and then just, boost your stats.
I'm going to, my buddy gave it to me. We played, have you ever played Gloomhaven?
Yes, the board game. And I've never played the board game, but I played the PC game.
Okay, we're playing the board game.
Yeah.
Board game's awesome. It's basically, it's a board game that simulates D&D.
Yep.
but like you don't need a DM.
Okay. So
it's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So we're playing that. We've been doing like campaigns with that. And he gave it to me. He's like, I finally finished it. And he's like, and Zelda comes out in 2 weeks. So I'm going to be playing that. And we were up till like 2 a.m. playing this board game. So I didn't have time to play it Saturday. Yeah. So yeah. Next Saturday, this week I'm going to install it. And then next Saturday, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to play it for like a couple hours.
Nice.
And just let everybody know, like, okay, this is what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to get into Gloomhaven. I thought the setup and stuff would have taken a long time. But if you liked it, I'll probably pick it up now.
It's a lot to learn. I'll warn you that. But once everybody learns what they're doing, gets in the groove of it, it's really fun.
Yeah, that was like, I played the Dark Souls board game for about 7 hours, 8 hours when like my friend Steve and I had like an afternoon off, and the setup and learning it took like 3 hours. Yeah. And then playing it, I think we got through like the first mini boss, but once like you got into it, it was a lot of fun. It felt like you were playing the Dark Souls game.
Yeah, this is just, there's so much to learn and how it operates and everything. It's a lot, but yeah, like I said, once you get into the flow of it, and the only problem with it, and this isn't a problem for me because we have a good crew, but like a lot of people are going to have this problem, is it's one of those ones where like you make a character and then that's your character.
Right.
And so everybody, it's like D&D. Everybody has to show up every however often you want to play. Like we're going to do it once a month. And
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then like the scenarios are set up for your crew. So depending on how many people you have, it's like how you set it up.
Uh-huh.
So it's really hard to like just somebody not to show up, kind of like D&D.
Right.
Like, to not show up for the next one. So.
Yeah, I got you. Cool.
But fun board game.
Awesome. I'll check it out. All right, everybody, we're going to get to the comic news now.
Well, why not? I mean, we got a little time. Do you want to talk about this weird fucking Twisted Metal TV show?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I kind of already washed my brain of that. You showed it to me before we started recording. Yeah, so that's why we got on the subject of video games. If anybody doesn't know, the game Twisted Metal was originally on what, PS1 or PS2?
Yeah, the first one's PS1. I believe a PS1 launch game.
Yeah. It was like you drive around, no story to it. You drive around like iconic places throughout the world and like get these ridiculous cars that are like themed, like an ice cream truck, a muscle car, and they all have special abilities and like rockets and machine guns. And you just try to blow each other up. It was the best game ever.
Yeah, they're fun games. And then Twisted Metal Black.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Was the PS2 one. And that's the first one that, they had stories, but like,
yeah,
not really. It like, so this makes me laugh. One of my favorite podcasters in video games, like he's a big Tekken fan and he talks about like Tekken lore.
Oh God.
And I'm like,
dude,
be honest, dude. Like Tekken lore, like they didn't start putting Tekken.
Yeah.
Like stories into like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Like, no, it goes back to one.
Like, yeah. I just got the new one and I've been skipping through the movies because I don't understand what the hell is going on.
Yeah,
funny. Why are robots fighting kung fu guys? No idea.
Because reasons.
Yeah.
But Black, Twisted Metal Black actually had a story and like what's going on and why the tournament exists and all this. So they're like, there's lore they can pull from, but dude, this, I posted a picture of the poster.
Yeah.
And it's, I just tagged it with, here's a picture of Anthony Mackie collecting a paycheck, because that's 100% what it looks like.
Yeah, so right. Oh, yeah. Looking. Oh, yeah. It looks so bad. And then they're like, well, you know, that one iconic car we brought back at the end of the trailer, you see the clown. I can't even remember his name.
Sweet Tooth is Twisted Metal.
Sweet Tooth. Yeah, Sweet Tooth, who is the clown that drives the ice cream truck that I don't remember his special. Was it a tornado?
It was. I think it was different each game, but the one I remember was the missile that was clown head.
The missile that was clown head. Yep. I used to play the guy that was like a black Trans Am that when you spun him around, he like spun around in a tornado was a special move.
See what I want. I hope they do all the little characters because from what I hear, this is supposed to be kind of like an action comedy. So they're going in the right direction. Like I'm not trying to make the most serious, like dark version of it.
I hope not.
what I hope is that we get a bunch of the different, like, the classic characters, because the characters were fun and neat. If they don't do Axel,
oh yeah,
they are missing the fucking boat, because Axel's the goofiest motherfucker in that game.
I forgot, Axel's the dude that's just like strapped to two wheels.
Yeah.
He's an Axel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's so goofy, but it works in the video game. And if they don't find a way to make it work in that show as like a comedic line,
yeah,
I don't know what to do. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know why Anthony Mackie of all people's in it.
Yeah, that's weird too. I don't know.
Like Will Arnett's voicing Sweet Tooth. It's, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm down for the ride at the very least.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, we felt the need to share that with people.
If we had an interview today, I would not be talking about Twisted Metal with you all. But, you know, here we are.
Here we are. Had to do it. It had to be done.
A little behind the scenes.
Now we can talk about comics a little bit.
Yeah. Some good comic news this week. I was pretty happy. Some bad, DC, too, but...
Yeah, DC announced this week Blue Beetle will get a new limited series called Blue Beetle Graduation Day. Was that not the title before?
I don't think so. Was there another Blue Beetle? I don't follow Blue Beetle stuff, so.
Yeah. I don't know if this is, I can't remember what it was called, but there's definitely another Blue Beetle, another Blue Beetle comic. Maybe it was already Blue Beetle. There's
so a Blue many. Beetle graduation day.
I wonder, is it coming back, do you think?
Did I get punked?
He might have gotten punked. Anyways, well, there is a comic called Blue Beetle Graduation Day. This is the period of his life as he graduates. Well, this is like the timeline that coincides with the movie.
This is okay. 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Goddamn pop-ups. Just says the Blue Beetle Graduation Day comic reaches conclusion. The limited series about to embark on a new ongoing. Oh. That's what I messed up on. It's just called Blue Beetle.
Oh, so he's getting from the same
creative team. It's turning into an ongoing.
Okay, so yeah, you still have Josh Trujillo on it with art by Adrian Gutierrez. That's cool. I mean, that's the way to do it, right? Start a limited series by Blue Beetle. If enough people liked it, then do a full... Maybe I'll check it out now that they're actually going to do an ongoing series with it.
Yeah, so this is all staying in because I'm going to admit to my fault here. So I read it wrong. It's launching in September. As a part of Dawn, that's why I was pretty sure it was real, because it's Dawn of DC.
Oh, okay.
Part of the Dawn of DC initiative. To whatever, I don't care. In this case, so the graduation day was him graduating high school. So that's what that limited series was. This means he's off to college. So now he's in college.
Okay.
Where he's embroiled in a storyline titled The Scarab Wars.
Oh boy.
All right. But Ted Kord's on the cover, so.
Dude, if there's more than one scarab, like a Beetleborg thing, hell yeah, I'm in.
If there's like different color scarabs, I'm telling you, I'm going to be so mad at DC for doing the same thing again.
The same thing that they did with Shazam.
They did it with, so Geoff Johns did it with Green Lanterns, and it was cool.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was different. We liked it.
Because it's a spectrum of color, yes.
Then they decided, hey, let's do Geoff Johns. Let's do Aquaman and the Outsiders, where not only is Aquaman have the trident, but then there's a bunch of different items from Atlantis that give you different powers.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Cool.
Yep, here we go. It's been done before.
Although I will laugh if we get like a brown beetle.
A brown beetle? A dung beetle? Does he just like roll up shit and throw it at people?
But that makes me think that people like that graduation day book.
Yeah, I should probably check it out, I guess, though.
Yeah, because if, I mean, it's getting an ongoing and the same creative team. It must have sold well.
I didn't know Ted Kord is involved in that Blue Beetle book, so maybe I should read it.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know if he is or not. I got the book wrong, but he's on the cover of this new one.
Yeah, he's on the cover, so he's got to be involved somehow.
This is, are you looking at the cover?
No.
Oh, this is a Star Wars ass cover, man.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, it's a Star Wars cover.
How many people 100%. Can you fit? How many people can you fit on a
Well, there's the like the Borg machine. There's Ted.
There is a bunch of Beatles on. There's a yellow one and a pink and a purple one.
Well, then I don't know why Starfire's there.
Starfire, but she's there. Yeah, I just see Starfire.
And then we got the evil Beetle. That's probably the Black Beetle.
The one in the middle, right? Is that black? Yeah. Well, it's that green.
The city skyline. So yeah, it's definitely evil. I mean,
yep.
And then this weird alien that's like oddly erotic for some reason. And then this couple over here that I'm sure people who are reading this book know who it is, but I don't know. Just a redhead, some dude that likes to work out.
Yeah.
It's an interesting cover, but it's definitely a Star Wars cover, man.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hopefully it's good. Well, it's coming out. There you go. Ahoy Comics is in the news. That's the first for a while. Announced their newest series coming out this summer titled Con and On. Interesting. This series is said to be a satire of the comic book industry and the convention circuit. It'll be written by Paul Cornell with art by Marika Cresta. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Marika Cresta, by the way, was an artist for Dr. Aphra.
Oh, cool.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think this book sounds awesome.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Industry inside shit. Like,
hell yeah, let's go.
And the artwork look cool. I mean, Ahoy does good stuff. This might be one that I'll actually pull, like get issue by issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is cool.
Nothing against Ahoy. I just normally trade weight their stuff.
Yeah, me too. This is one I still probably will buy as a trade. Archie Horror is thriving once again. An Archie comic announced another title to its lineup titled Archie Horror Camp Pickens. Oh boy. The series will feature different Archie characters in an anthology-style series where they face different horror tropes like undead monsters, ghostly encounters, and rampaging murderers. Hey, I mean, there's a fan base out there for Archie. This sounds kind of fun, but I still probably won't be reading Archie.
There's a ton of people who love Archie horror. Have you ever tried Undead with Archie?
No, I have not.
I mean, it's a zombie book, so
That's
one of the reasons it gets like pushed to me.
Yeah, right.
I've heard it's like legitimately good.
Maybe I should.
I don't know. Every time I try an Archie thing, I think and this is not an issue with Undead with Archie. But one of the problems I always have is like they have these cool concepts to like remix Archie stuff, but they do it in a one shot instead of doing a series. Like that Mad Max book I read.
Right.
But Undead with Archie is like a 12 issue series, I think. Yeah. So I don't know. I think this is going to be a series, an anthology series. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not really a horror guy, so it's not my thing.
Yeah. Maybe I should check it out, though. I do like horror stuff. IDW has hit some bad news last week. The company's stock plummeted down to and then below 43 cents a share. Oh boy. The company announced they're laying off 39% of the staff and restructuring as an attempt to fix errors from past few years and then grow. Yeah, 39% is quite a bit of staff. Something's wrong there. I mean, listen, we all hear from everybody comics aren't to make money. People aren't in the comic book industry to make money. But IDW, it sounds like they're doing something wrong here. So
IDW was losing money and borrowing left and right. And I think that's why IDW Originals is a thing. Because now all these companies are learning if they don't have original IP, they can't survive.
Yeah, like, right.
Having the turtles and all that stuff is nice. But when you're not getting the benefit from like the mass media of it, like it's really just something that keeps your company afloat. It doesn't rocket it to the moon.
Right.
So that's been IDW's problem. That's why I think that, you know, that's why we got Originals. So I'll say this as I guess I should put this ahead of time as a stockholder of IDW. It hit its lowest at 23 cents when this news hit. It is now sitting at $42.49.
Wow. I wonder if this is a good time to buy IDW stock.
I thought a good time was when it was at 82 cents, Mike, but apparently was wrong.
Yeah. Can always go lower, right? Can always go lower. Oh, geez.
Not that I lost a ton of money, but it's, yeah. It's the big thing here, though. I mean, stockholders, because let's be fair, like, I don't have a ton of money in stocks, everybody. So it's not like I make or break whether they could go up to fucking $100 and I'll be like living large for a few months, but that's about it. The big thing here is people lost their jobs, which really sucks.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of turnover in the industry now, and there's people without jobs, editors, PR people, so on and so forth. So that really sucks. Cause I like IDW. I like the originals line's really cool. You know, a lot of the books they put out are fun. I mean, they just announced that Stranger Things crossover that we're both really excited for.
Yeah.
So I hope that they make it out, because if nothing else, they're doing cool stuff that nobody else is doing. Like, nobody's doing a Stranger Things TMNT crossover.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else would.
Yeah. Right. They don't have the IPs like they do to do that.
Even when they do. So back when DC was like, my favorite recent DC was what, like 5-6 years ago when they did like the Hanna-Barbera books and they crossed over with IDW and did Planet of the Apes Green Lantern and I think it was Star Trek Green Lantern as well. And like, but that was all helmed by IDW doing it. And that's the stuff that like IDW does. They reach out to other companies to cross over and do fun stuff. And then, they get to do it, where fucking DC isn't going to reach out and be like, hey, we should cross over these two. They don't care. And Marvel too. I'm not going to just shit on DC, but you know, Marvel wouldn't do that stuff either. So for them to go out and do that, that's why I really like IDW and I want them to thrive. So it sucks. But at the end of the day, the big thing is here, people lost their jobs and I feel bad for them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Did you read anything this week? Because I did not.
Yeah, Mike did not. He was lazy and did nothing this week.
I did. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing at all. I'm absolutely lazy piece of shit.
No, I don't think Mike wants to talk about it publicly, but he had a big event happen this week, and that's why he didn't read any books.
Big life-changing events going on, so.
I'm sure you'll all know soon enough.
Yep.
So, yeah. Let's see. Let's start with. So I don't talk about this every month because it's not a ton in it, but it's been a fun anthology. The Image anthology just wrapped up. There's a Science Dog story in this. So,
oh, cool.
Fellow Kirkman fans, Science Dog.
Science Dog. There you go. That's awesome.
I like Science Dog. He's fun.
Yeah.
Some Kickstarter books I got this week. Two authors I don't talk about a lot enough on the show. I'm trying to do a better job of reading my Kickstarter books on time to like talk about them on the show. But, like I got books from like a year ago from Kickstarter I haven't read and I feel bad.
Oh, shit.
But Frank Martin, who's someone I really like on Kickstarter, both of these guys I'm going to talk about do really simple campaigns, not a whole lot of frill and thrill, cheap, and they get their books out fast. So both get like huge kudos for them, but Frank Martin's one, and I'm trying to talk to both these guys to get them on the show because I really do love their stuff. But this is Camp 818.
Okay.
So Frank's stuff, when he does it, he does either one shot or like two issue series. He does some really like small bite sized books, which is great. This one is a really interesting book because it's basically all about the anxieties of being a comic book writer.
Oh, so okay.
He rents out this cabin, this fictional character named Frank, rents out a cabin to go write his comic script.
Interesting.
And then like all the cabin's haunted, but it's like haunted with everything that would hold you back as a writer. So like a mob of people comes and like tells him he sucks at writing, and a demon appears and says, you're ripping people off, like all this kind of cool stuff. It's a quick read, but it's a lot of fun. And I liked how he like introduced the different things that like you know, any creative person thinks about when they're creating. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, Frank White's book. I love his stuff. Awesome. I'm forgetting Garvey's first name. Oh, Garvey, you fucked up. You didn't put your name on the front. I think it's Mark Garvey. Matt Garvey. Matt Garvey, the dude over at he's in the UK, so he's been a tough one to talk to, but this is a Big Fuck Off Worms.
What the hell? That's crazy.
I think you would love this book, Mike, because it's like a sci-fi post-apocalyptic thing. Okay. Where
that sounds awesome.
Basically, something happened. Like, they send a bunch of worms up to the space station outside.
Why worms?
So this is actually, I looked it up because he puts in here this whole backstory about why they sent worms up to the interstellar space station. I think that's the wrong word for it, but
I guess in everyday
International else, Space Station. Jesus.
Okay. Yep.
And they're actually doing it because they sent them up there and kept them up there to observe how zero gravity affects muscle.
Interesting.
Like atrophy and all that stuff. I looked it up. That's a real thing. They actually did that.
Oh, okay.
But in the story, the space station's hit and then plummeted down to Earth, which then, because reasons, interacts with radiation and creates these giant like dune like worms. So like,
oh my god, awesome.
That's awesome. Everybody on Earth has turned into some sort of like anthropomorphized human. So like there's chicken people and like cow people and so on and so forth, except for our hero, who was in a radiation suit when it all happened, because once again, just reasons, don't ask questions. And his whole thing is that he needs to kill all these worms because they give off radiation. And if they all go away, then he can take the suit off and then like humanity can go back. But it's all played as like very like campy, fun action. And then we learn that there's a sinister dude in the background who's controlling the worms and is trying to like destroy humanity and all blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of fun. I really recommend Garvey's stuff. I mean, once again, dude's in the UK, and I usually get the books within a month of the campaign ending. That's cool. So, love his stuff. Now on to the real comics. I mean, the mass market.
The real comics. Uh-oh, come on.
I love you people. I'm just having fun today. Action Comics 1054. So, big showdown between Supes and Mentallo. Long story short, we find out who's been controlling Mentallo and convincing him that like Superman's out to get him. And that somebody, Mike, is Cyborg Superman.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so I was really happy about that one.
That's cool.
The second story was the past story with John Kent as a kid. And it was really good. There was a good twist on there about the princess he'd been hanging out with. He finds out that like she's not so innocent and all that stuff. And meanwhile, Supes is trying to like find his kid while Doombreaker attacks him. So he's, you know, trying to fight off two issues at once. And then the last story was, it was okay, but it's a Steel story that takes place before, was it Superman or Action Comics were. It was Action Comics. So the quote-unquote first issue of this Action Comics run where the Steel building got attacked, this takes place right before, and it's Steel kind of dealing with all the politics of owning this big corporation and why somebody would attack them and all that stuff. So it was an interesting story, but not a huge Steel guy. Yeah. Thor 33 was Thor versus Doom, which is a really cool story. Doom, he actually finds out that like not only does Doom have Hela imprisoned, but he's been using her powers to control his people. And Doom tries to thwart Thor by making his people run off the ledge of a building like lemmings. And he doesn't win, obviously. That's Captain amazing. America, Symbol of Truth, number 12, or Cold War Part 2. Literally takes place right after the Cold War issue. Cap and Falcon are having a conversation about, like, Sam's basically like, listen, Steve, Bucky's too far gone. Like, we can't save him this time. We have to do something about it. And they decide to just put their differences aside, the argument, and they just need to help this town and take care of the Dimension Z creatures. And that's when they find out that, like, all the townspeople have been living in this abandoned mine shaft. So they decide they have to help them. And then kind of the side story is that Ian, Steve Rogers' kid from Dimension Z, who is also Nomad, is imprisoned by Bucky right now. And they have a whole conversation about, you know, why Bucky's doing what he's doing, all that. It's basically the evil villain monologue, just cut into a scene. And that's when Black Widow shows up, and gets the jump on Bucky. And that's how the book ends. Vanish number 6 was really great. It was basically Vanish runs into his wife, and they have a whole conversation. I don't want to give too much away of this one, because, like, I feel like Donnie writes himself a lot. And it's one of the things I love about Donnie is he kind of reminds me of, like, a comic book version of Kevin Smith, where he writes about his own life. Mm-hmm. And I could tell in these pages, this is what he was going through when he kind of took his hiatus from comics. But there's a badass moment where Vanish and his wife have, like, a fight, and we find out, like, how powerful the wife is, and that it wasn't Vanish trying to protect her. It was actually the other way around. And then we get a new villain who shows up that's supposed to kill him, and she's pretty badass looking. It looks like something out of, like, Spawn, with these, like, machine gun tentacles and shit. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Really good issue. Guardians of the Galaxy, Bane of Blastar, number 1. This is a one-shot that was written by the Karate Kid. Okay. I'm not going to go too much detail this. They fight Blastar. Like, whatever. It was pretty good, but I think my one complaint about it is it's written very 1970s comic-like, where, like, guys will do something and explain what they just did out loud.
Yeah, explaining it while they're doing it. I hate that.
Yeah. So I'm glad it was just a one shot, because I would have dropped it real fast.
That's like my biggest pet peeve about the old school comics, is like, you literally just saw a picture of what they're doing. You don't need to explain it to me.
Yeah. But Ralph Macchio wrote it. So
that's true. That's cool.
Blue Book number 3 was good. It just continues that whole arc of the woman and her husband trying to figure out whether they actually saw aliens or not. And we ended up finding out, like, they went and saw a therapist, and then they found somebody who could do hypnosis, and he was going to solve all their issues and all this. It's a fun book if you're into, like, alien conspiracies and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then the last book I have is, and this is even all the books I bought this week, Mike. The last book I have is Star Wars Darth Vader, Black, White, and Red. Three really cool stories. Jason Aaron does one, Peach Momoko does one, and then Torin Grumbeck does one. I think I pronounced her name right. She's the one doing Thor right now.
Nice.
And the Torin story is drawn by Klaus Jensen. So,
oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Great artist.
Really cool one-shot stories. I mean, Jason's is going to be done throughout the series, because the way it ends, you can definitely tell there's gonna be a to be continued. The rest of them, the Peach Momoka stuff, that was the first real Momoka interiors I've ever read. Okay. And it was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that's really good
how her stuff is.
Yeah, it's really good art, but I don't fully understand what I read. Like, this page here, like, what is that, Mike? Explain to me what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. No idea.
It's fucking amazing art, but
yeah, the art's really good.
I can see the appeal why people like her so much, but it was interesting. And yeah, I thought it was a really good kind of anthology book as well. A lot of anthology books this week.
Yeah, that's all right. I like those too.
Yeah. So, good stuff. If you're a big Star Wars fan, pick it up.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Mike, that was everything I read this week. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show?
You can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter and most social media at that. And you can find the show at Fortress Comics _ on Twitter. Also on other social medias. We have an Instagram. I never talk about Instagram.
Oh, yeah. There's an Instagram.
Fortress Comics _. Probably because I don't post on there much. I'm trying to get better at it, everybody. If you want to help the show out, the best way to do it is to either like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTube version, or give us a 5-star review on the podcast of your choice for the audio version, whether you use iTunes or whatever. Just reviews, reviews, reviews. They help out so much.
Yes, they do.
And if you want to go to Extra Mile, patreon.com/fortresscomics. Thank you all so much for watching and listening this week, and we'll see you all here next week.